and always streaming on the Civic Media.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Assessment teams are examining homes and other buildings after a magnitude 7.0 earthquake struck Northern California this morning local time. Julie called in to KCBS Radio from Eureka shortly after it hit.
It was pretty obviously an earthquake. My living room floor shook and my front windows shook. So I knew it was an earthquake. It was a fast one, though.
Parents reacted quickly to the tsunami warnings that followed.
Students at Payden Elementary School were moved to the second floor following the tsunami warning, which parents like Kimo Yancey took very seriously.
A lot of the times they don't amount to anything, but just in case, when it happened super fast.
He pulled his daughter out of school even after the tsunami alert was canceled. High school students were evacuated to higher ground at a football field.
Definitely a lot of concern.
Jennifer Sadie had to reassure her kids after nearby marinas were also evacuated.
I mean, there's been so many weather-related disasters going on in our country lately, and you just want to take everything seriously.
Matt Bigler for CBS News, Alameda, California.
There's still no sign of the suspect in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Manhattan yesterday. Police released stills from surveillance video showing the suspect's face. Your CBS's Anna Schechter.
Investigators are getting more and more anxious. They want to solve this thing. And New Yorkers, meanwhile, are staying pretty cool going about business as usual. But 36 hours, I think a lot of people thought that we would at least have a name.
Police found the words deny, defend, and depose on shell casings found at the scene. The words may be a reference to tactics insurance companies use to avoid paying claims. Iowa Republican Senator Joni Ernst was asked on Fox today if she'll support Pete Hegseth to lead the Pentagon. CBS's Scott McFarland says her appearance was designed to send a message.
Senator Ernst knew that question was coming and allowed herself to be booked onto Fox News and its enormous audience inside the party to make an equivocating statement about Pete Hegseth. That may ring louder than anything else said inside the marble hallways today.
Without her vote, Hegseth would likely not be confirmed. Amnesty International has accused Israel of genocide in Gaza. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports that's an assessment not shared by the U.S.
State Department spokesman Vedant Patel says the U.S. disagrees with the Amnesty report.
The allegations of genocide we find to be unfounded. That being said, a number of areas continue to be of deep concern to the United States.
He said that includes the war's impact on civilians in Gaza.
The Dow closed down more than 0.5%, NASDAQ down almost 0.25%. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. Governor Gavin Newsom says Northern California will get help dealing with the aftermath of this morning's 7.0 magnitude earthquake.
We're concerned about damage, particularly in the northern part of the state, in Del Norte and Mendocino and Humboldt County as a consequence of that. I just signed off on a state of emergency declaration.
House Speaker Mike Johnson met with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy today.
We believe it's an historic moment for the country.
Johnson says there's widespread support for cutting the size of the government.
We need to make government more efficient. And that is what this whole objective is. It's what the DOGE effort will be about. And you're going to see a bicameral cooperation, and it will be, by the way, bipartisan.
NASA says it's delaying its planned return to the moon. Here's NASA Chief Bill Nelson.
Assuming the SpaceX lander is ready, we plan to launch Artemis 3 in mid-2027.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low of 5 to 10. And a mix of sun and clouds for your Friday afternoon, a high in the mid-20s. Warmer for the weekend and a partly sunny sky, high in the upper 30s for Saturday, mid-40s for Sunday. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show. We jump back into basketball here, visiting with the Badgers head coach on tonight's program. Of course, we'll check in with Coach Gard. We'll also hear from John Tanjay, John Blackwell, and the chief of staff, Mark Vandewetter, and get a taste of the non-conference schedule, how that all comes together, and a lot of hoops you got to go through here to just match up dates and a really good non-conference schedule as we visit now with the head coach. And we've talked about, you've mentioned it many times, the chemistry, Greg, of your team. We'll recap Michigan here in a minute and look forward to Marquette, obviously. But the chemistry of your team, which it's always like every team is different, even if you've got most of your guys back from the prior year. But in today's world, it could be trickier than ever. But it's been something that's been really impressive, it sounds like, from your perspective, the way these guys have come together rather quickly.
Yeah, it has been. And I think that's number one, credit to our players. You know, their willingness to buy in into something bigger than themselves. And I think also credit to our staff that when we were going through the recruiting process, whether it's high school players or via the portal, that they really vetted. And I know the cliche is used a lot with the right fit, but I think that's more important than ever, because you have to hit the ground running, and making sure you have the right fit is probably more important than what the stat sheet tells you.
Yeah, it's real, because I've heard coaches before say, yeah, you can go get the players, but you still have to form a team.
Right.
You could have an all-star team of players, but if they don't mesh, then you got an all-star team of players that don't mesh, and
exactly.
You have a disappointing.
Well, we've seen that. You just don't have to look any further than the NBA. You know, you've seen a lot of really good rosters not produce and not perform and not win. So I think that is, obviously you have to have talent, and specifically out of the portal, you have to address really specific needs. But the needs can't be addressed if the fit isn't there and if they have ulterior motives. And a great example is John Tanjay, we've talked about, with, you know, in year six, could have very selfish individual motives, and he doesn't. He's a complete opposite. I mean, obviously he's a really good individual player, but he's really bought into being part of the team and making his teammates' success as much as possible, and the team success as much as possible. And obviously he's been extremely coachable. That's been the first, I think, as always, as a coach, the first red flag that goes up that you can tell whether somebody's got 2 feet in or not is how coachable they are. And he's been terrific.
And you mentioned it on the television broadcast too. And you know, you talked with Chris Foster and Brian Butch as well on the radio side, but the easy thing to say is, boy, one of the great transfer portal pickups in college basketball is John Tanjay, beg your pardon. He said, well, he's probably one of the better college basketball players.
Right.
It's one of the same in this case.
It is. You know, I think that we maybe someday we'll get rid of the transfer portal label and just, hey, there's been, we don't say that in the NBA or the NFL when
the
they
free
get
agent
traded.
Acquisition.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a new free agent. We just say, hey, he's a Green Bay Packer,
yeah.
He's a Milwaukee Brewer, or whatever it is. So, you know, eventually I think the stigma with that and is starting to fade, and it'll continue to fade as we go forward.
I do think in those of us in the media, and I think, you know, fans, and it's understandable with fans, you're getting used to it.
Right.
But you and your staff, I mean, this is where we are. So you've embraced it, right? as much as anybody in America. This is what it is, so let's make this work for Wisconsin.
Yeah, it doesn't do anybody any good to sit and bellyache about it, complain about it, and wish for yesteryear back, because it's not coming back. So you better pivot, and I know that's a word from COVID that was developed, but you need to adjust and adapt, and yeah, you got to run to it. So our staff has done a terrific job, and we've been able to find the right people, first and foremost, that have the skill set that help this team.
Yeah, think about all the pivoting that you mentioned.
Yeah.
COVID has been one obstacle after another. I mean, obviously with COVID, we all dealt with it, but yeah, things have changed a little bit from 2019 or early 2020. Let's go back to the Michigan game. Obviously, a hotly contested game. It's like, here we go. Big Ten basketball, the physicality of the shots, the three-point shots, safe to say, and I probably ask you this all the time, but is it safe to say that the overwhelming majority of the three-point shots, like Okay, that's good shot selection.
Yeah, and here's what, you know, you talk about changing of roster, simulation, roster acquisition, team formation, all those things. The other things that's changed in basketball is how you look at the analytics. The threes weren't the problem. It was the non-rim twos that we took. Way too many of those that actually, quite frankly, we need to turn down those and turn them into threes. So we shot 27 threes, and I know we were 6 for 27. Quite frankly, with the non-rim twos we shot, we should have shot more threes. So just really that's the thing that, you know, we were able to, and that's credit to Michigan. You know, we weren't the first team that they baited into taking those type of shots. It's the most we've taken this year, combined with the worst percentage from three. But probably the one thing you really grasp, there's some spacing issues we got to clean up. There's some personnel things that we can tweak to make our offensive punch a little better. But it was all the non-rim twos that we took. I think we took 17, and we were 7 for 17. And that's 14 points on 17 possessions, if my math is right. I know I'm not the sharpest cat in the box, but that's for twos, that's not what you want. And like I said, the simple math of three is worth more than two, and we have been pretty good at it. You know, and you're going to have some tough twos every once in a while, but not to the volume that we took.
And that is the goal defensively across the country, right? Make the other guys take tough twos.
Yeah, you're seeing the drop coverage. The NBA has had that forever, I think you're just seeing that spill into. And if you watch the high-powered offensive teams, what they do, if you watch, for one that we study a lot is Alabama. They get in there and they will not shoot a tough or a non-rim two, meaning a layup or a dunk. So we want layups, dunks, free throws, and threes. Now, like I said, you're not going to go perfect. You're not going to bat 1,000. But at the same time, we took a too much of a percentage of our shots were non-rim twos.
And at the other end of the floor, if you could contain guards the way you did, Trey Donaldson didn't score in the game, you're thinking, okay, I'll take my chances there. But those, you said it before the game, what Danny Wolfe and what Vlad Golden can do. Wolfe is very versatile with what he could do. But defensively, I mean, I know they had their points in transition, but points per possession kind of fit what you were looking for.
Yeah, below one. You know, not our worst defensive performance of the year. They're, you know, when you hold them to 0.97, you're supposed to win because you're supposed to score over 1 point per possession. So, but Danny Wolfe is, I mean, he's what I thought on film. He's the closest thing to a Frank Kaminsky prototype since Frank that I've seen at 7 feet that can handle it, pass it, shoot it, bring it in transition. He's averaging 10 rebounds a game. You know, he's a pretty complete player, and that's a credit to his development because we watched him in high school coming out of Illinois, and then he was at Yale, and it took him a while to even crack the rotation at Yale. So it's a credit to him as he's continued to work at it, and quite frankly, ironically, Frank Kaminsky kind of fell the same track. They're a little different players. I think Danny's probably got more guard skills than Frank has. Frank had more low post skills than what Danny has, but it's a tough matchup when you get the 4-5 ball screen. We didn't handle it well enough. Not only the two guys that were involved with it, but loading and flooding from other positions we needed to be better at. But 7 feet to 7'2 is a tough cover in the middle of the floor.
You mentioned Frank Kaminsky, and for those who, I mean, obviously Badger fans who've been fans for a long time are aware, but for those who are newer to the party, Frank, it was his junior year when he broke through. After his first couple of years thinking, you recruited him?
Yeah, why?
you saw something, obviously, with him out of high school. And, you know, he got poked in the eye. He dealt with that, you know, early in his career. But it does take a while. There's still this thing about player development, isn't there?
There is, especially with big guys. Yeah. You know, big guys develop at a slower rate. I mean, quite frankly, almost to a T, every single one of them we've had here has. They just take a little longer because the metabolism's running a little hotter. They can't put on weight. They're not accustomed to the physicality, the speed of the game. There's all the things that go to it as they develop physically. And then their brain has to slow down a little bit, too. You know, they have to slow the game down a little bit. And I think that's what you see with Wolf is that the game is slow for him. He doesn't get sped up. He doesn't get put into bad decisions. He keeps his dribble alive when he needs to, pivots when he needs to. He controls the pace at which he plays at, and that puts him in position to make the plays that he does.
All right, Badgers taking on Marquette on Saturday at Fiserv Forum. Tip time will be 12:30. Our coverage starts 1 hour earlier. We'll get into the Golden Eagles, and we'll have more with head coach Greg Gard coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Expand your tool set with professional power tools from Menards. Metabo represents the gold standard in cordless power tools. Whether you're at home or on the job site, tackle any building project with Metabo power tools. Plus, power tools make great gifts. Metabo cordless drills provide the power and function to make your next job more productive. Pick one up today for just $99 at Menards. Sale price good through December 8th.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. In a few minutes, we'll check in with John Tanjay and John Blackwell, as well as Chief of Staff Mark Van de Wettering. Badgers getting ready for Marquette on Saturday. Marquette falling last night to a really good Iowa State team. Marquette's really good, too, but Iowa State on the home floor won the game 81-70. We'll get into Marquette here in a minute. I know Max Klesman, you could tell there was some frustration from him late in the game. Guy's used to making a lot of shots. He's in a stretch now where that's not happening. Stevie had a tough night the other night fouling out, but their body of work suggests that you'll be fine, stay with it. Is that one of the most important things? There could be some obviously tweaks that you want to do fundamentally perhaps, but history tells us that they're really good players.
Yeah, the main thing is you got to stay aggressive. You can't, second specifically with shooters, you can't put doubt in your mind. You got to keep shooting and, you know, rep it out and practice like he has been. But all good shooters go through things that were they at some point in time, even as pros. I mean, we have Kirk Penny on the staff, and somebody asked me the other night after a game, have you ever gone 1-for-9? He goes, no, I haven't gone 1-for-9, but I went 0-for-11. You know, it's going to happen. You're going to go through it. I mean, we study a lot of other teams and players, and there's really, really good players that have gone through streaks worse than what Max has gone through. So you just ride the tide, so to speak, and keep taking good shots. I think that's the biggest thing. You just evaluate. I'm not evaluating so much whether the ball goes in or not, because I know I've seen enough, and he's a proven shooter, the quality of the shot. And for the most part, like you said, we talked in the first segment, the non-rim twos. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Take the threes. Let's cut back on the non-rim twos. And, you know, and that'll help set up teammates for better shots. We'll get more free throws. We'll be at the rim more. So it's not just, you know, he's gone 1 for 9 in the last game or what he's shooting right now. It's the all the things that lead into that that can help not only him but the rest of the group.
You tell the Kirk Penny story. If I remember right, it was a game Dick Bennett was still coaching where he had the offer. And, of course, Dick after the game saying, well, you think he could have drop-kicked one in. Be a big typical Dick Bennett. It got better with Kirk. Brevin Pritzel one time had a rough game. He came up. He said, have you ever seen this before? Yeah, I have. Yeah. And
would he go 0 for 12?
Yeah, and then he came back, and he ended up being a really
You're going to go through it. Yeah. Your hitters go through it, right? You know,
for sure.
Golfers go through it. Quarterbacks go through it. Wide receivers have a case of the drops once in a while. So
everybody,
you just got to keep pushing your way through it and not get frustrated by it.
Another part that was interesting in last night in college basketball: the number 1 team, the number 2 team, the number 5 team all lost. If this happened in college football, oh my God, the chaos! This is life in college basketball.
The number in front of the ranking stuff. That's why, you know, we got ranked, and people ask me, and it's like, well, I make as big a deal about it as I did when we weren't ranked. Zero. It doesn't matter because that's somebody's opinion on the outside. That's great. A lot of people have great opinions of us that we've been able to be where we are, but really you see the parity. You know, we've talked about that a lot across our sport, more so than any other sport that there is, because of the portal, because of the three-point line. You know, they're just it makes for great viewership, so to speak, or listenership in your case with the radio. But it's you know, it gives coaches sleepless nights, but it's great for fans.
And the thing about basketball, too, obviously now with the portal it is, but even before, I remember Bo would talk about this all the time, and you as well, pre-portal days and pre-NIL days, is that, you know, a lot of these guys who are playing at the, quote, less publicized programs, they're playing AAU ball, and they were playing with or against Big Ten guys. They don't freak out.
No.
In most cases, when they come into a 17,000 seat building, it's basketball, and like kids, maybe the last 20, 25 years especially.
Yeah, it's that part of it has dissipated, where it's really, they've had so much experience, whether it's big high school venues. You mentioned AAU, different tournaments. These guys travel so much before they ever get to college. They know each other. The degree of separation we've talked about prior in other segments. They played against each other, played with each other, competed in the portal. There's even more cross-section of knowledge. So, it doesn't matter what the front of the jersey says or, like I mentioned, what the ranking is in front of it. You have to perform in that 40 minutes because there is so much parity across, not only across our league, you know, you look across, I don't even like high major, mid major, because you see games get really competitive all the time. So that's probably as big a change as there is. There isn't the dominance by, you know, UConn had a good, you know, a two-year run. Well, they went 0-3 in Maui. Mm-hmm. You know, Danny Hurley says he's never going to play in another one. So it's just, you know, you just, it's all about the moment you're in, and you better be good in the moment and appreciate when you got it good, because you might have a little rough patch coming.
You would think he never won a game in his life the way he's been on the kind of leaning into it maybe here. Talk about Marquette here. I mentioned they had a tough one last night. Again, Iowa State's been, you know, really good and looks like they're going to be really good again. Cam Jones gets the most attention. And, you know, here's the thing about him. He has what you might call a frustrating night last night. The man almost had a triple-double. You know, he gets 9 dimes. He has 8 rebounds. But it goes beyond him, right? They have some pretty good balance on
it. It does. You know, and I think the pieces fit really well together. You know, just studying him in a short window, I haven't seen him a lot, you know, prior to getting ready for Saturday. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he obviously leads the charge, and he's just so mature in how he plays. He doesn't get sped up. He, you know, we talked about Wolf and what he does from his position. Jones does a lot of the same things, can impact the game in a lot of ways other than scoring, and he can score it really well. And then you've got people around him too. They got drivers, they got Joplin shooting threes, they got a stretch big in Gold, you know, and just you know, I think, like I said, the pieces, the fit for how they want to play and who they have as personnel, it looks like it comes really well together.
And it seems like, too, I've heard people talk a lot about Stevie Mitchell, who may not have gaudy statistics, But his value goes well beyond that. Any number of players who have been here probably fit that.
You have to have those. You have to have all the pieces. You can't have seven stars, right? Because the ball, you can't carve off the ball enough to go around. So you have to have people that are willing to be a star in their role, whatever that may be. And it, with Mitchell, it's the energy stuff. It's the cutting. It's the knocking down an occasional three when he needs to. It's a team that obviously it's. Fun to watch them. It's not fun to prepare or have to play them, I'm sure, because they got really good players. And like I said, they play well together.
Their defense, they get a lot of steals, 11, 12 a game. Michigan's a really good defensive team, too. You play good defensive teams already, but is this a little bit different in this how they approach it?
Yeah, this is. Different philosophy, different style set. Yeah, they're going to be up into us, active with their hands, aggressive in passing lanes, change defenses a little bit. We'll show some pressure and mix and match what they're doing in the half court, but really aggressive. The main definition behind it is they're no matter what they're in, there's going to be a flavor of aggressiveness, much like we've seen from the Arizonas, from Pitt, teams that really, really came after Central Florida to a degree, came after us pretty well, especially on the perimeter with the guards. And I expect, Marquette to do the same.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago about being a star in your role. Are you seeing that with some of your own guys? If it's, like Janicki, on a path to that anyway, Janicki, what he does off the bench. I still think a guy like Carter Gilmore
Absolutely.
Can just come in and stabilize
yes.
stuff
yes.
and play defense.
Yep.
You're seeing that, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the other, we need to continue. Kamari McGee has been a star in his role. Gilly has been, he may be the best post defender we have and covers up a lot of other miscues for other teammates. And like you said, doesn't get a lot of the headlines, but if you really break down and analyze the film, he does a lot of good things, and one we need to continue to push towards that is Xavier Amos. I think his ability to impact us, even on the scoreboard, he has the ability to move the scoreboard for us too. But getting him comfortable in what his role is important for us.
Yeah, a guy like any of those guys, but you mentioned Gilly, players know. Right, because
mm-hmm.
they know he's where he's supposed to be, and whatever else, whatever the stats say, players know that he's a guy you want on your team.
And Janicki's the same, has the same opinion from the team. Mm-hmm. If you line him up and said, all right, we're going to draft, Janicki would get picked early, very early, because he impacts winning.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. I know it's always a fun one. The Wisconsin Marquette game. It's a December game, but it's a lot of fun. Your in-state guys know it. It's just, but it's great for basketball.
Oh, it's awesome for basketball. You get two ranked teams. It's great for the state. You got two homegrown coaches coaching each team. I think it's just awesome for college basketball. Won't be great for me and Shaka on Saturday. It's great for the state. It really promotes basketball. We'll be on a bright stage on Saturday. And like I said, it's just great for the state of Wisconsin. And, great to have two programs that, I've been impressed with how they played. Obviously, they played much like us, have played a tough schedule and got a tough schedule coming after us, and so do we. It'll be a fun atmosphere, and I'm sure we'll get greeted with, warm holiday wishes. Yes.
All the love. Again, tip time at Fiserv Forum will be 12:30 on Saturday. We'll take a break and we continue to get to the players portion. John Tanjay, John Blackwell coming up on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
During the season of giving, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection asks you to do your research before donating to avoid imposter scams and fake charities. Before giving to a charity, please research the organization at give.org and use verified information. Do not donate through unsolicited links, phone calls, or other messages sent to you. Make sure your contribution goes to the organization and cause you want to support, not a scammer. Learn more at datcp.wi.gov. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Or at amfamforkids.org.
We roll on with the Greg Gard Radio Show. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Wisconsin Basketball Chief of Staff Mark Vandewettering, get an idea of how he puts the non-conference schedule together. In this segment, though, we'll check in with a couple of players, sophomore guard John Blackwell, and right now, graduate transfer John Tanjay, who leads the team in scoring at a bit better than 22 points per game. He's hitting 44% of his shots from the three-point line and nearly 94% from the free-throw line. As they say around here, not only has he been one of the best transfer additions in college basketball, he has been one of the best players, period, in all of college basketball. So a lot of us around here are probably surprised. I asked John, should we be?
I don't know. That's for everyone else to decide. I'm just here, you know, having fun, trying to take advantage of this amazing opportunity that I have to play for Wisconsin. I'm blessed to be here.
Take us back to the summer when you made the decision to come here and just working out with the guys. What was that like for you, just getting acquainted with the players, the campus, the city of Madison?
It's been awesome. Ever since I stepped foot here, everyone's embraced me, and I've been trying to hit the ground running in the summer and trying to learn, and it's been super, super easy because of, you know, the guys that are in this locker room and the guys that have been helping me a lot, especially, you know, some of the older returners.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think is important for people to understand. The culture here has been really, it's not just a word. And you probably felt that right away.
Absolutely. Yeah, the culture here is real. And it was something that I was willing to get adjusted to and willing to learn and, you know, have some of the other guys show me the ropes and kind of see what Wisconsin basketball is all about. And I feel like I'm starting to get the hang of it and do my best to, represent.
With your skill set, I mean, there are a lot of things that are obvious, but your ability to get to the free throw line, which was the case at Colorado State your last year there as well. Was that something even going into that year that you were trying to emphasize, see if you could get yourself to the free throw line more?
It's part of the game. I think I have an advantage of being physical and, drawing some of the fouls. And, a lot of the games that we've needed to win that free throw battle. I mean, that's a big part of the game. And, I try to do everything I can to compete and give my team an advantage.
One of the things about this team, too, is that I never detect panic. If things aren't going great in the first 10 minutes or in the first half, you guys just you stick to it, which is that's pretty impressive. And in your case, the experience, is that a big part of it? I mean, you've been through this movie before at the college level. Has that helped you here and your teammates as well?
Absolutely. I think I'm very calm. I'm a very calm person, very level-headed. And I know that, it's a 40-minute game. Regardless of what's happening, you have to focus on play by play. And then we have great leaders in here, especially Max Klesman. He might give us a little speech that'll get us all riled up to go back out there for second half. But honestly, just kind of knowing there's going to be ups and downs in a basketball game and just trying to stay the course and make adjustments.
What was it like? I'm sure you were asked this after the game, but when you have a game in front of you in West Virginia that goes to triple overtime and it's kind of a stop and go to get yourself game ready, what was that like for you?
It was good. I was thinking it's just a little bit of adversity for us, some new to go through. I mean, as a team, we want to keep, there's always going to be obstacles. There's always going to be things going on. So I think I just wanted to have my team embrace this triple overtime and use it as motivation to go out there and play.
And no shot clock and flickering lights. Just a part of it, right?
Just all a part of it. It was a great experience because now we're ready if happens again down the line.
I could tell, go back to the culture question, that it seems like they have taken a liking to you long before you were scoring 41 and 33 points. They're saying, well, John's got, he's the coffee drinker, and but Max says he is too. So you guys, I mean, you and Max, you probably keep everybody in line a little bit, being the older guys.
You could say that. I mean, I think being an older guy, guys are just naturally listening to you. So you just have to be make sure that you're pouring into everyone and making sure that we're doing everything we can to lead and just doing everything in our power to keep things rolling.
Your first exposure here into some big environments, obviously the Pitt game, very good team, the Arizona game. I'm turning back the clock a little bit here, but to be a part of that, a big part of that, 17,000 plus, your first big environment game as a Badger, what was that like for you?
It was amazing because everyone had been talking about how the Kohl Center is, and it's nothing like actually being there and experiencing it. And I felt the energy the whole night. It was honestly a surreal moment, and that's the type of days that you pray for and you imagine in your head as a kid. And then I got to live out a night like that. Was amazing.
And a pretty good picture with you and Frank Kaminsky, pretty good player too. He seemed really happy for you and all your teammates too. That has to mean a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, just being a basketball fan, knowing who Frank Kaminsky was, that was my first time meeting him. So it was an awesome experience to see them back in the building, and giving those guys their flowers was awesome that night.
As graduate transfer John Tanjay, now we shift to the second leading scorer so far this season, sophomore guard John Blackwell. He's playing nearly 31 minutes a game, averaging 15 points per outing as he has moved into the starting role. We asked him about the difference now in his role as a freshman compared to what it is now as a sophomore.
I think now they see me at the point guard position. Last year I was more of a 2-3, two-way player, finding my spots, finding where I can score. This year, ball's more in my hand. I mean, I'm getting it late clock. I'm scoring more of a leader out there with that point guard position. So, yeah.
It's a fun offense to play in, too, right? I mean, we're seeing the point production, but the way with which you guys are getting those points, it's got to be a lot of fun to be a part of, isn't it?
Oh, of course. It's more fun playing with guys you, like, enjoy playing with. And we're sharing the ball and we're just having fun out there playing together. Obviously, we're taking the game for real serious. But when you're just having fun out there with the guys, getting up shots and defending and beating teams. I mean, what more can you ask for? Yeah, and your coach has so much trust in you that we're going to get it done. So, yeah.
You know, part of that, too, I was talking to John Tanjay about this. There's no panic with you guys. I mean, John's been around. Stevie's been around. It's your second year. But even if a game doesn't start well, you guys don't seem like you freak out. You just kind of stick with it, and things tend to work out well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of basketball to be played. Like, my dad told me that as a little youngin'. Even when I was watching college games, I was like, oh, this game over, Dad. They losing by 15. And he's like, oh, the game's not over. It's a lot of basketball we play. So I just tell the guys, like, as me as a point guard, I gotta weather the storm. I gotta tell everybody it's gonna be all right. I mean, last game we were down 14. I told the guys it's gonna be all right. It's a lot of basketball to be played. So we just have a bunch of vets around that's been around the game so long, and then I know I'm a sophomore, but I think for myself, I have a high IQ that I've been around the game. Like, just slow down, take a breath, and we're going to be okay. And I think that's what we did the last game.
I remember talking to you last year, and you lean on your dad a lot, and as well you should, about basketball, about life advice too, I'm sure, but basketball advice. Having lived through it now as a freshman, what are the biggest things that you were able to take away last year that's helped with you this year?
Last year, just mentally being prepared for each game. Every game has a new obstacle. Whether you're not scoring it, how you're going to impact winning. Whether you're scoring it, how you're going to finish out, because your scoring don't matter if you don't win the game. So I think those, as a young player, I just want to get buckets sometimes. Just focusing on that, and then the mental aspect of just being a leader, picking your teammates up at all times, even if you're having a bad day out there. And then the last thing, I obviously seen it from my vets and just guys that were before me, taking care of your body as how many minutes you're playing. I mean, I think, I don't know how many minutes I'm averaging, but I look, and it's 35, 40 sometimes. And you got to take care of your body so you can perform on a night in, night out basis at the same way or better. That's how you just take care of your body.
Talking to John again, Tanjay, he was struck by the chemistry of this team. And it seems like, you were mentioned, it's not just about scoring. I mean, fans see guys who may not even get in the game, but when the game is secured, they're thrilled.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to play. But is that one of the, are we seeing that, right? It just seems like everybody is really pulling for each other. If you're having a big night and somebody else is barely seeing the floor, that guy barely seeing the floor is thrilled for you. That's a pretty special thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's honestly a blessing. I mean, everybody just loves it. I think it just comes from love. I mean, we just love each other, and we don't care who's scoring. Just imagine, as long as we're getting the job done winning, and then we're all enjoying each other at the end. I mean, because there's no better feeling than winning. So, like, and I know everybody in this locker room hates losing, so we're trying to do everything in our power to win the game.
And already at this fairly early stage of the season, you've seen all kinds of environments. You know, the craziness of the Arizona game, the craziness of no shot clock and flickering lights and maybe 1,000 people in a ballroom. Yeah. But that all helps, right, moving forward, trying to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, obviously, there's going to be way more obstacles, way more tests that we got to go through. But I think we've done a great job as a group weathering all the chaos that's going on. We just come out and we prevail.
That's sophomore guard John Blackwell. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll talk scheduling with Mark Vandewettering, the Badger basketball chief of staff and director of operations. We're back in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Badger fans, basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Basketball fans, Mott's Matt for Brewpub Latte Mozza Pizza here. As much as our badges are a staple to our great state of Wisconsin, Brewpub pizzas are a staple as the in-game meal of choice. Brewpub pizzas are loaded with quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning mozzarella cheese, made right here in Wisconsin. Each Brewpub pizza is a swish of delish. So stop by your local grocer today and snag one and enjoy two of Wisconsin's favorite things, Badger basketball and Brewpub pizzas, the ingredients for a great time.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Continuing with the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready for the annual matchup with the Marquette Golden Eagles this time at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. That's a long-running series. That's one that you know is going to be part of the non-conference schedule. I had a chance to catch up with Mark recently and asked him about how he puts together those other games to make up the non-conference portion of the Wisconsin schedule. I know in the past, Mark, we've gone down this path a little bit, just, you know, getting an idea with scheduling. But for those who maybe are unfamiliar, I mean, getting a non-conference schedule put together, some are assigned, you know, if it's Greenbrier or other such events. What are the general marching orders, for lack of a better term, that you get from the head coach as you get these games scheduled?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we look at each individual season and each individual team as we go through it, you know, we want to make sure that we're challenged and well prepared for the Big Ten. We know that we play in a league that's going to challenge us night in and night out, and we need to make sure our non-conference is built in a way that's preparing us for that. So what that means is we got to have a good balance of games that are going to challenge us at home and away from home. And build accordingly. So, you know, as we go through this season, you know, we were very strategic in our first few games, you know, kind of increasingly the level of competition got better as we got towards Arizona for game four. So, you know, just stacking wins that way, which worked out really well for us and prepped us for a game against Arizona. So, you know, as we go into the conference play, it's there's not as many nights off, so you got to be ready to go at all times. But as you're going through an initial part of a season, you want to get your feet underneath you a little bit and kind of challenging yourself bit by bit more to get ready for those big dogs that are coming.
There are different styles of play that you guys face with your opponents. They're different sizes too, which, you know, when you guys have Nolan and Steven out there together and you face somebody where 6'6", 6'7", is as tall, that's still a challenge, albeit a different one. That said, in this portal age that we're in, how much will you know about a roster makeup before these schedules are put together?
Yeah, it's becoming increasingly difficult, you know. So we look more at what they've been stylistically and the players that they've had in the past, because you really aren't going to know exactly how a team's going to look, you know. Like, for example, Appalachian State this year, really, really good team last year. Lost seven of their top eight guys, you know, so we knew early they're probably going to be a little bit of some growing pains for them as they put a whole new group together, but at the end of the year, it's going to be a really good game and a really good team, and it's going to look good for us. But, you know, if you can catch a team like that at the right time, it looks better as the year goes on. So you look at, you know, what they've lost without really knowing what they're going to get in, and then where they've been, what their head coach has done, if it's a new, you know, look at where they've come from, what they've done historically, and just try to get a better idea of what you're signing up for before you just randomly throw something out there.
It was a real coup to be able to do the home and home with Arizona. Mm-hmm. Beneficial for both programs in each of the last 2 years. How challenging is that to try to get a, you know, the quote, bigger name program to agree to something like that?
It is a challenge, you know, because they've obviously got a lot of obligations as well. You know, each school has, you know, a quota of home games that they both have to hit and different obligations that they have. So, you know, agreeing to play is probably easier, but finding the dates that make sense, you know, like we played on a Saturday in December there, you know, you ideally want these games on a weekend, you know, we're going to be get a lot more eyeballs and fans are going to be excited for it, build up, like, so that's the ideal situation, and finding open weekends around finals and around other obligations, MTEs, can be a challenge, you know, so when it does work out, it's really rewarding because, you know, it's great for our fans to have a game like that at the Kohl Center, and it's obviously a great opportunity for our athletes as well to go and explore a place that they probably would never have a chance to play.
There is finding that match, and then there's finding arena availability and, you know, whatever television platform wants that one. I mean, that those are real, too, and that I would imagine it can be a source of frustration at times. Like, you've got school A that, okay, they want to do this. Now you got to find a time when the building's available.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Yeah, it's a challenge, you know. And you know, when you have a date that you're kind of zeroing in on, you're calling the conference office and seeing what TV network has a window on that day, you know. And obviously, the draft for the TV networks comes later in the off season. But you know, if you can know that there's an ideal window that, you know, it might get picked up by Fox, NBC, CBS, you know, some of those games that you want to have a lot of eyeballs at home on, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of challenges that go into making those things happen. And, you know, you're obviously, for us, in an arena that's shared with two other teams, and you're trying to find availability around when it's going to be in a basketball arena versus there's a hockey series coming or a women's basketball have a game on their side, too. So there's a lot of logistical challenges that go into it. But, you know, it's a lot of moving parts. There's people involved that got it lined up for us.
Obviously, the Butler game, that catches people's attention and clearly a very good program. Does Thad Matta, does that help? Does that make it more doable on a relatively short time frame of getting that game together?
For sure. You know, familiarity with Thad was huge, you know, because, you know, Coach Gard can reach out to him and say, hey, how serious are you about doing this? Because we're ready to go. And having that relationship with Thad from his days at Ohio State makes that conversation a lot easier and a lot quicker. And then obviously then it's just contract execution from there and working out, you know, the different things that are going to come along with a neutral site event, I would say, because, you know, Purdue and Texas A&M are the game before us, so there's challenges with that and how that's going to look for who's playing first, who's playing second. What's that look like for people that are coming to the game? Is it better set up to have the teams that are right down the road go first, or, you know, since they're split with local teams, does it really matter? So there's some conversations that happen, but having the familiarity with that certainly helps expedite that process.
Final one for you. It was so much fun, I know, for the fans or, you know, anybody involved, to see the teams from 10 years ago, the final back-to-back Final Fours. You're going to see that again later in the year with the 2000. Mm-hmm. See, that was the thing with Coach Gard when he was interim Coach Gard, that he really wanted to get that connection going. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. And, you know, and he's continued to emphasize that we recognize and celebrate the success that we've had here as a program, you know, and bringing that group back for the 10-year celebration, it's hard to believe it's been 10 years. And, you know, even just reaching out for the Save the Date for the 2000 Final Four team, the responses back from that group where they were ecstatic to be back, you know, and to continue to be recognized. And it's such a point of emphasis for Coach that we continue to celebrate those teams and recognize the tremendous success we've had as a program, you know, because winning's hard. Winning's hard. And when you have success to celebrate, you might as well put some time and effort into it and make it happen for everybody.
And to see Bo Ryan, you know, the banner there, that it meant a lot, means a lot. Not meant, it means present tense a lot to him.
Yeah, for sure. He was, you know, you could. He doesn't get speechless often.
Very true.
But that moment when he was, you know, told that was going to happen, you could tell it meant a lot to him, and such a well-deserved honor for him. You know, obviously the winningest coach in school history, newest member of the Naismith Hall of Fame, and such a well-deserved honor on that side as well. But, yeah, meant a lot to him, and it's pretty cool to walk in here every day with his banner, or his name in the rafters.
You were there for it. Was your head on a swivel? Because I'm watching this, and I'm seeing – pretty much a who's who of the history of the game.
I mean, you're walking through that. You know, you've got, you know, Magic walking down on your right, Larry Bird on your left, and then, you know, Dr. J's coming. And I'm like, how am I in this room with these people? So that was, you know, I've been very fortunate to be in a lot of special moments, but that was certainly a pinch me moment for me. And the basketball royalty that gets in that room is pretty special, and just really speaks to the honor it was for Coach.
That's Wisconsin Basketball Chief of Staff Mark Van de Wettering. We'll take a look at the schedule the rest of the week here on the Greg Gard Show as we wrap things up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's check out the Friday schedule involving Big Ten teams. Indiana, again, out of conference at home with Miami University out of the Mid-American Conference. There is a Big Ten game, though. Northwestern coming off that buzzer-beating loss at Iowa on Tuesday night. We'll be hosting Illinois. On Saturday, Rutgers is at Ohio State. Nebraska's at Michigan State. Iowa hits the road to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. And USC will take on Washington. And then on Sunday, you got Maryland at Purdue. UCLA will be in Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. Our coverage on Saturday begins at 11:30. It'll be the Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles from Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee. Tip time set for 12:30 as the Badgers try to make it four straight in this series. You recall a couple of years ago, it went into overtime. Max Klesman with the game winner. Last year, Max Klesman with 21 points in the first half as the Badgers beat Marquette. So they'll try to make it four in a row, but a tall order there. Both teams trying to get back on track after suffering losses earlier in the week. Brian Butch and I will talk to you Saturday from Milwaukee for the Badgers and Marquette. Thanks for listening. This is the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you speak.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CB.